If you have your Bibles with you and you'd like to turn with me, please turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is a subject that had kind of gotten touched on, but it was many subjects over that meeting. I felt that the Lord be with me. I'd like to draw it an end to the main subject of this text today. Pray that the Lord be with me on this. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Lord be with me. I'd like to focus on the subject that ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified. We know that God has saved his children by grace. We know that we've been elected, predestinated. We have been redeemed. We have been in so many ways blessed richly beyond what we can compare. You remember last Sunday that we spoke about what is acceptable in the sight of God. What is acceptable in the sight of God? You remember that over in Ephesians chapter 1, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath what? Made us accepted in the beloved. He hath made us accepted in the blood. That word accepted is, I want to look at how he made us accepted in the blood. Well, he made us accepted right there in our opening text. Ye are washed, ye are sanctified, and ye are justified. You ever seen children bring pets home, stray pets home, or adults, or maybe toys home that look like they had been buried for decades, and they got out there in the yard digging something up, and they found a treasure. Maybe it was an old Coke bottle, an old collector bottle that they found out there, and they said, man, this is wonderful. Look at this treasure, Mom. And, well, we can't have that in this house. Not looking like that. There's something that has to happen before that bottle could be brought into the house. You see what I'm saying? God foreknew you. He knew you. He made you. He created you. Through sin, my dear friends, we were sold in sin. Adam and Eve chose sin there in the Garden of Eden. They had chosen to go against God's commandments, made them filthy as filthy rags. I want you to think about this, that you have been made filthy as filthy rags. You inherited it from your father Adam there of a natural nature, and that is what you have inherited. That's what you are. When you have been made filthy rags, I'm talking you're stained, you're nasty. It's like the rags we work with on a daily basis. They've got some of the nastiest stuff. You don't want to touch them, and you sure don't want to have them up against your face. They are stained real bad. And if you knew some of the things, you just don't want to get close to them. They're nasty. I would say that a mechanic's rag's probably in better shape than some of those. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you that we do the best we can to sanitize those rags, to clean those rags, to whiten those rags. We still can't get the spots out of all those rags. They may be sanitized, but the stain is still there. Brothers and sisters, isn't that the way it is in our natural state? That we've been stained so bad and we're that as filthy as those filthy rags that there's nothing that we could do that of ourselves to be
cleansed of ourselves, of sins, and be acceptable in the sight of God. Just as I can't get all the stains out of a rag that we work with, it's never going to be acceptable to take that rag and sell it as new merchandise on the counter somewhere, is it? It just won't do. It won't work because it's not perfect. When we're presented to God, we've got to be spotless, blameless, sinless, and just right. But those children, they take them bottles and them toys or whatever, and they take it and they wash it, and they clean it. They set it aside, and then they start doing some justifying to mama why they need to keep that bottle and what it means to them. Think about that. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, through the death, burial, resurrection, what happened there upon the cross at Calvary, and the blood that was shed there at Calvary, He washed us with the washing of regeneration. If you look over in 1 John chapter 1, there in that chapter, we will find that through His blood, you have been cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. My dear friends, you have been washed whiter than snow. My dear friends, you have been cleansed in a way that only His blood could cleanse you. And only the washing of regeneration, the work of the Holy Spirit, the quickening, can cleanse a man of sins or a woman of sins. A child of grace has been made clean, spotless. Why? When God the Father looks at you, His children, them that He knew before the foundation of the world, Him that He sent His only begotten Son into this world to live and to die for us. That blood that was shed, it was shed for us. You remember back in the day, back in the Levitical times, there in Leviticus, you'll find there that the priest would take the blood of that lamb that they would slay for the sacrifice, take that blood and he would sprinkle it. Brothers and sisters, in that sprinkling there was purpose there that was to hit what it was supposed to hit. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus Christ came into this world and that blood was shed, that blood went exactly to God's elect people, to where it was supposed to go to. Why? Because God knew them before the foundation of the world. And that blood, as soon as it hits us and it covers us, let me tell you, it cleanses us. It takes that stain away. Haven't you seen some of those Carbona things that you could buy over at Walmart or somewhere? Carbona takes out all kinds of stains. Absolutely amazing. All kinds of different kinds of stain removers. And they have their whole lineup, but they never carry it all. Now I want you to think about this. Instead of Carbona, the blood of Christ, there's not all kinds of different things there, but the blood of Christ cleanses everything. And it took away every stain, every sin, every wickedness, every wretched thing that anybody, any child of grace had done through everything. That's great, is it not? Because why? God's that powerful. His love is that great. He's that able. Jesus Christ is that able. Jesus Christ is that perfect. And not only that, the Bible teaches that we are the sanctified. We have been sanctified. I want you to think about this. That through sanctification, that means one that is sanctified, one that has been set aside to set apart from something. How many times have we been set apart from certain things in our lives? Maybe it was in school. You know, you felt different. You felt set aside from different groups of people. Well, the Bible teaches that we are peculiar and zealous of good works. His people is a peculiar people and zealous of good works. That's set aside. That's one that is set aside. We've been sanctified. Why? Through Jesus Christ. Through the election and predestination. We've been sanctified. I want you to think about this. That one that has been sanctified is one that God is doing a mighty work in one's life. If He knew you before the foundation of the world, He elected you, He has set you aside. You say, well, Brother Brad, through the word of election, doesn't mention the word sanctification. I'm using this to get you to think about this. To sanctify something is for someone to set something aside, set it apart. So one doing election is to set aside, is electing one, to set it apart from something. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, when it goes through all the different things that God has done for His children. Where He knew you, He predestinated you, He called you, He justified you, He glorified you. My dear friends, those are people. When it's talking about all, that word all is all pertaining to who that pertains to. That's one that is set apart. If we put our television up upon a wall over our fireplace, that is set aside for a particular purpose. And that wall is set aside for that purpose, is it not? People will set aside that television to worship the little g God. You said, Brother Brad, I don't worship a little g God. Oh, think again. I have to say this same thing to myself. When we set that aside and put it over God, it turns to a little g God. A lot of things in our lives could be turned to a little g God. If it's taking place of service to God in our life, in our walk for the Lord. We're sacrificing for worldly things. We're sacrificing God's time, God's service, God's walk, our walk in the Lord, for worldly things. But that old television is set aside. It has been sanctified in a worldly sense, let's just say. The Bible tells us, sanctify the Lord thy God in your hearts. If we're to sanctify the Lord our God in our hearts, then that means to set aside time for God. Time for the church, time for our church family, time for our families to honor and glorify God in taking care of our families, being there for our children, encouraging our children in the Lord, doing things that we need to be doing according to Scripture. Isn't that something? To sanctify the Lord thy God in your hearts. To set aside. God has sanctified us. He has set us aside. He's blessed us richly. Justified. Let us look into this justification. There in Romans 8, when it says that they that are called have been justified from what?
In a court of law, when a person that is guilty has been brought forward to the judge, and that individual that has been brought forward to the judge, and the judge knows the history of this individual, knows that that person is guilty. But then we have a representative, Jesus Christ. When a person goes into court of law, and in the court of law, they want the best representative that they can get to represent that person. Most people want the one that will lie the best. If they're guilty, and if they're not guilty, they still want the one that can lie the best so that they can still get off because they know they're not guilty. I'm talking worldly, carnal things. A good, honest person wants a good, honest lawyer. And there's some good ones out there. But when you've got God as the judge and you've got Jesus Christ as your representative, God cannot lie. Jesus Christ isn't going to lie. So you said, why in the world would the Lord Jesus Christ be my representative? Why would he represent me if I'm guilty? Well, guess what? Through his shed blood, he has washed you. He has sanctified you. And now he's justifying you. He's cleansed you from all sins through his shed blood upon the cross at Calvary. He has sanctified you. He has set you apart and made you different. Isn't that a wonderful work that God has done for you to help you, to make you good and acceptable in the sight of God? And when God the Father, the judge, looks at our record there where Jesus Christ has washed us by his blood, he has cleansed us by his blood, he has sanctified us, and God the Father also had sanctified us through his election. My dear friends, not only that, that's powerful right there. So when he comes time to tell the judge, and look, this is not saying this is scripture, this is what I'm saying would happen in a court of law. This is what happens between Jesus Christ, our representative, and God the Father. This is how it would happen. So one that is washed, sanctified, is automatically justified because of the righteousness of the one that is the representative. It don't get any better than that, does it? You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. Ephesians 1:6. We are accepted in the beloved. That's powerful, isn't it? Accepted in the beloved because of this right here. We're accepted in our Father. That's powerful. That should be something comforting that you can go and lay your head down at night knowing that you have been accepted in the beloved. You have been washed, you have been justified, and you have been sanctified, and justified. That's precious. Now I want us to think about some stories that happened there in Scripture. I want us to look back at 2 Samuel chapter 9. You remember Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was lame on his feet. You remember that he was the lineage and family of Saul. Saul and the sons had been killed off. They had died or they were no more. You remember the great sins of Saul and how Saul had gone against God and God had removed him from the throne and replaced him with David, and yet Saul would not go obediently, would he? And brought a lot of trouble upon him and his household. Many died through this. David had asked, is there any that he could shew forth the great love? In verse 1 it says, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may shew him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Jonathan was David's friend. He loved Jonathan. Jonathan was good to him. He said, is there any that I could shew forth any kindness to this family? That's pretty bad, isn't it? You ever feel very separated from the family where you wonder, am I the only one left of this family that has any kind of sanity? Am I the only one that tries to love the Lord, to honor God? Am I the one that remembers the truth? Am I the only one that tries to seek God first in my life and honor Him? Yet there's so many that is around me that they claim they honor God, they claim they worship God, but what they're doing is quite opposite from the Word of God. Welcome to my world and my family's world. Sometimes it feels that way. And you get to that point in time, you think, what has happened? Is there any that I can shew forth great kindness for Jonathan's sake? David's asking. It says in verse 2, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may shew the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel and Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, and from Lodabar. He was placed there at the king's table. He was given the very best. He was fed from the king's house. He was clothed by the king. He was made accepted there in that house. Brothers and sisters, in this day and time, we look for perfection. We look for vanities. And brothers and sisters, if you ever want to get to brass tacks and you want to go look in there and find in Proverbs, and you can find there in the Song of Solomon of just what vanity is all about. We live in that world of vanities. We live in the world of demanding perfection of the worldly things. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, Mephibosheth would not have been accepted there in the king's house, would not have been accepted in the king's house today. He was considered lame. He was considered an embarrassment. And I'm talking somebody that's ever been lame on their feet or had a problem and has gone up like that. Let me tell you something. Go to some of these places where they take care of people with disabilities and you find out just what you'd get with Mephibosheth. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, David was accepted of him. He loved him even through all his inabilities because he shewed great love to him. Isn't that the way that God shews great love unto us? Because what? We're lame on our feet.
We're despicable, we're filthy, and we're nasty and disgusting.
The Bible describes David as a man after God's own heart.
And brothers and sisters, if this don't paint a beautiful picture of that, I don't know what else is.
You ever been to the point where you had a friend in your life that was good to you, was faithful to you, a friend that was good to you in a way that didn't have much, couldn't do much for you, but always was there and shewed forth kindness, was respectful, may not even hear from them that often. Brothers and sisters, that's the kind of friend I bet Mephibosheth was. Someone faithful. And believe it or not, the Lord can bring some good out of a wicked household. I'm reminded of the time in Scripture when Nathanael, when it was told unto him, he said, "Come and see." Nathanael had also said, is there any good that could come out of Nazareth? Guess what? The greatest. Was there any good that could come out of Egypt? Guess what? The greatest. You remember that Joseph had to take the Lord Jesus and his and Mary down into Egypt for a while before they came up out of Egypt. So guess what? The greatest came out. There were some good things that could come out of some bad situation only by the grace of God, that God could shew forth the great power and his great grace and his great love, regardless of the situations at hand. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, may we not go into bad situations knowingly because God will bring us out. No, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, the Bible says to him it is sin. You know better than to do something, don't do it, because guess what? It's sin. Don't tempt the Lord thy God, Scripture teaches. Here's this Mephibosheth right there. And Mephibosheth is in his life. He's been lame. And David brings him home. He cleans him up. He sanctifies him. He sets him aside. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, not only that, but he justifies him in the sight of the kingdom that day. Because when he justified him, he said, well, he's sitting here at this table. He's part of this family. He's going to be sitting here at this table. He's going to be eating at this table. And let me tell you, nobody in that whole kingdom should come against him. Why? Because he's sitting there at the king's table. But guess what, brothers and sisters? We're accepted in the beloved. And we've been washed. We've been sanctified. And we've been justified in the sight of God. It don't get no better than that, does it? Thank goodness to grace. It just doesn't get any better than that. Because we can't do it out of ourselves, we can't wash ourselves good enough, we can't sanctify ourselves good enough, you can't justify yourself good enough, because guess what? Everything that we do is based upon our own righteousness, and our righteousness is as filthy rags, and it's not good enough in the sight of God. It's just not. I'm reminded of over in 1 Samuel chapter 25. You remember that Abigail was there. Nabal was a wicked, girlish man. He was a wicked man. He
I couldn't stand David and his servants. But here's this dear sister there, that as she's there with giving them bread and food after Nabal had demanded that she not, that after Nabal cursing them, after Nabal removing them and not feeding them. Let me tell you, David could have brought destruction on that man instantaneously if he wanted to. And those men could have come down so hard on him and killed every one of his household, let me tell you, instantaneously. But guess what? Abigail found some grace there that day with David. You ever done something against the way the world wants you to do because you knew it was right in the eyes of God, and you said, well, guess what? I'm going to shew forth love to God's saints. I'm going to shew forth love in the church, in the house of God. I'm going to do what's right in the eyes of God. And brothers and sisters, Abigail did what was right in the eyes of God, in the sight of God. She fed David and those men. And let me tell you, later on, Nabal dies. His Nabal has died. David had chosen her to be his wife. Cleaned her up, took her out of that bad situation, set her up, blessed her in a mighty way, set her aside from all that mess, justified her in the sight of that kingdom too. Brothers and sisters, I'm talking about natural things here that happen among God's people to shew forth the beautiful picture of grace. We're the sons of God, the bride of Christ. It don't get any better than that. Being the sons of God and the bride of Christ, it just doesn't get any better than that. I want us to think about Matthew in chapter 8. There's another portion of scripture here that paints a beautiful picture of being washed, sanctified, and justified. Matthew 8, verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see, thou tell no man, but go thy way, shew thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, you say, why in the world would he do that? Isn't Jesus there yet? But Jesus had not fulfilled all things just quite yet. So he's telling them to do what the Old Testament church was supposed to do at that time. This is what they did. And so Jesus is telling them, go do this. A leopard was set aside and was ostracized in society, was one that was set aside, was unclean, was filthy. They were all kept in a group, in an area set aside for society because nobody else wanted to get leprosy. But let me tell you this, that isn't this the way it is in our natural state and sin, that we're like lepers set aside in society because we're filthy, unclean, can't come to the Lord Jesus Christ and feel light because we're unclean and we're not fit. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you, this old leper cried out unto the Lord asking for him to clean him up, and he did. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, he touched him. That's the power that God has, that God can touch you. And it doesn't matter what you got. He can touch you. He can heal you. He can cleanse you. He can make you just right to be accepted, brothers and sisters. And guess what? He was set aside from the rest of the lepers. He was no more a leper, no more unclean, no more filthy. Not only that, he was justified in the sight of God. Why that day? Why? Because the Lord Jesus touched him. They didn't have to go make a big to-do about it. But he was just right. That centurion had one that was sick. And that centurion soldier had that servant that was sick. And he asked for him to be healed. This is just under this. The Lord was astonished with the faith that he had asking. He knew that he could make him better just like that. Lord did. That man's faith had done a lot for that soldier, his servant. Let me tell you, how many times do we get to the point in time in our lives where something isn't just right, but we pray unto God, we ask God, help us. And the Lord just seems to reach down in your life and blesses it to just get better. And you think, how in the world did that happen? Ain't that amazing? I can only think about how many times the Lord's just saved our life or blessed something to just get better. Or what about the one that was blind? If the blood of Christ can make you clean and make you whole, brothers and sisters, you know, there's a movie out that came out this lately where a big famous actor out there betrays Jesus Christ, and it comes down to the part where Jesus is supposed to heal the blind. And they said that actor, when it got to the point where he's supposed to spit and take clay and anoint the individual's eyes, that he said a dirty word. He said, I'm not doing that. Who does that? But brothers and sisters, let me tell you, he didn't do that. The whole thing's blasphemy anyhow. But let me tell you this. There in Scripture, Jesus Christ made a spittle there with the clay, and his spit there, rubbed it on and anointed that man's eyes. Because why? Jesus Christ spits just right. It's clean. It's not like yours and mine, filthy. The point was, he did it. Why? Because he anointed that man's eyes. It's better than any medicine that you'd get to put in your eyes. Brothers and sisters, his blood cleanses us, it sanctifies us, it justifies us in the eyes of God. The actions in which Jesus Christ took there at Calvary did it all. We've been made accepted in the beloved. I'm thankful that the Lord has washed us, has sanctified us, and justified us. I'm thankful about what he's done for us in so many ways. Today we're about to have communion. The Bible tells us, do it in remembrance of me. When we do it, let us remember what all the Lord has done. He took his disciples there and he sought to have the last Passover with them. And as the Passover supper ended, they went into the Lord's Supper thereafter, showing the change from the Old Testament to the New Testament church. How beautiful is that? May we seek to be able to be there for that. And remember just what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. Thank you for your time, your kind, sweet attention. Continue to keep us in your prayers.